This is the Anderson Files on PodClip. The Anderson Files is a look at commerce, investment, economics, and retirement issues that affect each and every one of you. Your host is Mike Anderson, Executive Vice President, Retirement Services, and partner of Finestone Partners. Finestone Partners is an independent firm with securities offered through Four Point Capital. And now your host, Mike Anderson.
Federal stimulus, tax relief for small business, and local impact of the pandemic on Southern California small business. Here to talk with me today on these topics is Congressman Ted Lieu. Congressman Ted W. Lieu was first elected in 2014 and represents California's 33rd congressional district in the United States House of Representatives, succeeding retiring 40-year incumbent Henry Waxman. In 2016 and 2018, Congressman Lieu was reelected and currently serves on the House Judiciary Committee and the House Foreign Affairs Committee. He was also elected by his Democratic colleagues to serve as a co-chair of the Democratic Policy and Communications Committee. Welcome, Representative Lieu.
Thank you. Honored to be on your show.
Thanks so much. And to start, what motivated you to run for public office?
Thank you for the question. So a lot of it has to do with how I came here. My story is the same as millions of people across America. I am an immigrant, and when my parents came, they were poor, and we started off living in the basement of a person's home, and they went to flea markets and sold gifts and jewelry to make ends meet. Over many years, they were able to open a gift store, a shopping center, and then they worked hard 7 days a week, save their money, and then open a gift and jewelry store in a shopping mall. And then my brother and I would help watch that store because, you know, we were free labor. But eventually they expanded over six stores. And in my mind, they achieved the American dream. They went from being poor to a home and gave my brother and I an amazing education. He's a doctor now, and my parents still remind me of that. But it's one reason I joined the U.S. Air Force in active duty. I believe I could never give back to America. The reason this amazing country is given to me, and it's one reason I stay in the reserves, and one reason I'm in politics, is to make sure that this dream remains open for people who want to work hard and succeed.
Representative Lieu, with your time in Congress so far, what issues have you ended up focusing on?
I am one of four recovering computer science majors in Congress. It's going to go down to one in three next term because one of the folks retired. So there's not a lot of technological expertise in Congress, so I've chosen to work on cybersecurity issues, trying to make sure that both the public and private sector have stronger cybersecurity defenses and make sure that we're better prepared for hacks, whether they come from foreign governments or from criminal hackers. I've also worked on the Judiciary Committee on issues such as immigration reform, criminal justice reform, gun safety reform, and then on the Foreign Affairs Committee. I am very interested in making sure that we maintain our alliances with other countries and that we get the United States back into both the Paris Climate Accord as well as the World Health Organization.
And currently, with a possible fourth stimulus package in the wings, how is that developing? Can you share where that is in some parts of the package?
Sure. Let me give some history. Earlier this year, Congress passed on a bipartisan basis four laws to address the pandemic, and those laws gave direct stimulus checks to American families, small business loans to businesses, money to state and local governments, to hospitals, and frontline responders. It was a comprehensive package. And my view is, all of that was necessary, but not sufficient to address the scale of this crisis, which is why on May 15th, the House passed the HEROES Act, which was a $3 trillion package. Unfortunately, the White House and the U.S. Senate twiddled their thumbs for most of the year and didn't act. We ended up then negotiating against ourselves and passed a second version of $2.2 trillion to try to get the White House and Senate to act. They still didn't. Finally, after the election was over, Senator Mitch McConnell decided that he was now interested to do a stimulus package. And the number that they agreed upon is around $908 billion, which to me is still too small, but at least it's better than nothing. So that's what the negotiators are working on right now, and hopefully we can come to a deal sometime next week. So we'll see what happens.
For the size of the package, what, from your view, what would you have preferred in terms of dollars?
I would have liked to have seen direct stimulus checks go out to the American people again, the way that it happened the first time. That is currently not part of the package, even though there's bipartisan support from it. I support it, as does Missouri Republican Senator Josh Hawley, as does Bernie Sanders. So this is a very diverse coalition, but Senator McConnell, unfortunately, does not appear to want to do that.
I see. And with a possible fourth stimulus package, and with, as we all know, another current shutdown of many businesses in California, mainly small business, do you see additional tax relief for small business?
I could definitely see that happening. I think what we're trying to do is to get something done this year under the Trump administration, and then when the Biden administration takes over on January 20th, to try again. And that package could have tax relief and a broader array of other measures to try to get the economy going again.
Understood. And as far as locally, within the 33rd District, parts of West LA, and the other geographic areas of Southern California that you represent, how are you seeing small business being affected? What are you hearing from small business owners, whether they're retail or professional firms, manufacturers?
Well, small businesses are by and large hurting, which is why we fought very hard to make sure that we could get loans out to small businesses. And my office is always available to help small businesses or any constituent that they have issues with federal agencies such as the SBA or other agencies. But small businesses are hurting, and that's why I think we need to get another relief package out to American people, and hopefully we can do it this year. If for whatever reason that can't happen, then I look forward to doing it on January 20th when the Biden administration comes in.
Understood. And in regards to what we're doing here in California, to get your take on, you know, how we're approaching dealing with the pandemic here in the state compared to other states, how do you think California is doing? Are we doing everything that we can? Should there, do you think more could be done, or another approach as to what's being done?
So what California is seeing, which is this spike in coronavirus cases and deaths, is not that much different from what many states are experiencing, which is a spike in coronavirus cases and deaths. And there is a fairly simple way to mitigate cases and deaths, and it's simply to wash your hands frequently, wear a mask in public, and engage in social distancing. You can still have many parts of the economy do exactly the same thing and open up if people just do those three things. Unfortunately, you have this contingent of anti-maskers, of people who don't want to social distance, people who still think the virus is a hoax, and they screw things up because it only takes a few people who are super spreaders to really make this pandemic worse. So if everyone would just do those three simple things, we would be a lot better off, and we wouldn't have to go to more restrictive measures.
I'm chatting with Representative Ted Lieu, and this is the Anderson Files on podclips.io. Representative Lieu, for the next year coming up under the new administration, are there other areas that you would like to be a champion of, other areas of legislation, policy?
Last term, I introduced legislation on infrastructure. It was a comprehensive infrastructure package. the cost was $2 trillion, and even some of my own colleagues in my Democratic caucus said that was too expensive. And then I remember the president giving a State of the Union speech where he said he wanted a $1.5 trillion infrastructure package, and I thought, see, I wasn't too far off. So my view is that we need to get infrastructure done, not only because it will jumpstart the economy, but because we have an infrastructure deficit. According to the American Society of Civil Engineers, we have about a $4 trillion infrastructure deficit, meaning that there are $4 trillion worth of projects to fix roads, highways, and bridges that need to be done that are not being done. And so we can both make our infrastructure safer and better and get the economy going again. So hopefully we can get that through sometime next year.
And do you see, infrastructure-wise, California taking the lead or being an example for the rest of the states in terms of our initiatives here that could be taken to the national level?
California has done a relatively good job of infrastructure. Before the pandemic, we were the fifth largest economy in the world, and you don't get to that place without having good infrastructure. I think what we need is to make sure that all the states have the resources they need to be able to fund and fix the priority projects for their roads and bridges and highways, and also to think about infrastructure in the 21st century and include other components such as delivering broadband everywhere, including to rural areas as well as areas in the inner city where they may not have it yet. And we just need to, I think about it in a more holistic manner, and also protect our critical infrastructure assets against any cybersecurity attacks as well.
For the state of California, how do you see the economy evolving going forward? Obviously, we're in the pandemic now. We're suffering, many different pockets of the economy are suffering from that. But going forward, how do you see California coming out of this economically as a state?
California is poised to recover very well because our economy is very diverse. So even during a pandemic, right, people still have to eat, and we have a large agriculture sector. We have an aerospace sector. People were still building satellites and rockets during the pandemic. We have a lot of different aspects of our economy that continue during the pandemic and will continue to grow after the virus is suppressed. We have an amazing biotech industry. So there are many aspects of California's economy, I think, not only survive during the pandemic, but will get even bigger after the pandemic is over.
Do you see the entertainment industry continuing to prosper and thrive in California?
Yes, and we know that they've experienced a lot of challenges during the pandemic. And they're trying to work through, you know, how do we make these films and TV shows safe, given the contagiousness of the virus. Many of them have, in fact, been able to do so. But it's a challenge that's going to at least happen for the first half of next year until we get a lot of people vaccinated.
And with the vaccination on the launch pad now and the coordination of what will be necessary for distribution and taking priority of who should have it first, do you see this unfolding effectively? Do you have hope that this will, the direction that we're going is hopeful?
It is. I think it's important to leave the recommendations up to the doctors and scientists, and they've been essentially recommending that we give the initial vaccinations to the frontline responders who are dealing with people who are positive with the virus, and also to nursing home residents, and I think that makes a lot of sense to me.
And do you see any specific adjustments, especially for nursing homes, that need to take place? And as we know, it's a tough area to keep safe, but do you have anything in addition that you'd like to see happening for nursing homes?
I'd like to see some studies and reports on what could states and the federal government have done to prevent the large amount of deaths in nursing homes. Now, it may be that there was not much that could have been done because of the way this virus acts, which is it's just much more lethal to people who are older. But there may have been actions that nursing homes could have taken that would have mitigated some of this. And I think we need to get all the data and make sure that going forward, if a future pandemic were ever to happen again, that this is not repeated in the way it happened this time.
And for small business in West LA, we have our office on Wilshire and Doheny, and you know, it's almost like a ghost town. And seeing the restaurants open semi and then shutter, do you see the kind of the normalcy of to some degree coming back sometime in the first quarter of 2021?
I do. I think as the vaccines start to roll out, and if more people will simply wash their hands frequently and engage in social distancing and wear masks, we could start to reduce the spread of the virus, and that's how we get our economy normal again. I think, unfortunately, both the Trump administration and a number of governors try to do it the other way, which is let's just try to get the economy going again and ignore the virus. Turns out that didn't work because the American people are still going to first and foremost try to protect themselves and their family. And if they think it's unsafe to take certain actions, a lot of them are just not going to do that. And that's going to, by nature, slow down the economy. And you can't force someone to take risky actions. So until you suppress this virus, we're never going to get our economy back to normal. So the first order of business is, let's try to suppress the virus. Let's make sure people take the actions they need to be safe, and then we can get our economy going again.
I'm talking with Representative Ted Lieu, and this is the Anderson Files on podclips.io. Representative Lieu, to go a little bit further with your role in the House and interacting with your colleagues, how do you see the House collaborating and cooperating and moving towards common goals in conjunction with the Senate going forward? Do you see some changes that may move towards more consensus on certain legislation?
That's a great question. I believe it depends on the issue. For example, both the House and the Senate passed by very large veto-proof margins, the National Defense Authorization Act. And we did that even though Donald Trump repeatedly said he was going to veto the bill because he wanted a completely unrelated provision to suppress free speech on the Internet included. And both Republican and Democratic members of the House and Senate looked at that and said, well, this has nothing to do with national defense. Why would we even include it? And so we just ignored him. And essentially, we're landing on his desk, this National Defense Authorization Act. We're going to dare him to veto it, and if he does, we'll override him. Hopefully, he'll just sign it. But that's an example of Democrats and Republicans working together to put America first. And so I think it depends on the issue. Veterans issues, I believe, you're going to get a lot of bipartisan support. And issues related to infrastructure, I think we can get bipartisan support. So it does depend on the issue. Now, if you're talking, for example, about, let's say, abortion, then it's just going to be a straight party line vote. So it depends on the issue.
Right. And for the collaboration with the White House going forward, are you looking forward to having President Biden in the White House?
Yes. I'm very pleased we're going to have an administration that does not think the virus is a hoax, that's going to encourage mask wearing, that's going to trust science and medical data. And I think that's going to help get our economy going again. Because again, what caused the economy to slow down was in fact the virus. It wasn't something else. And so until you deal with the root problem, you're not going to get the economy back to normal. And Joe Biden and Kamala Harris understand what the root problem is, which is suppressing this virus. In addition, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris want to build back better and do infrastructure, which is something I want to do too. So I'm very hopeful we can get that done.
Sounds wonderful. How can our listeners contact you?
So I have offices in Washington, D.C. as well as in Southern California. They can email me, call me, fax me. I have a website. And on social media, I have two accounts. I have a very classy and polished office account, and then there's my own. So the very classy and polished office account is simply at Rep. Ted Liu, and you can find that on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. Or you can follow me personally. I'm just at Ted Liu.
Thank you, Representative Liu, and continued success in representing California's 33rd Congressional District.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you, Daryl Wayne, engineer, Mark Allen, producer. I'm Mike Anderson, and this is the Anderson Files on podclips.io. Keep calm and keep listening.
You've been listening to the Anderson Files with Mike Anderson. Visit us at podclip.io and check on the financial box for more information on the Anderson Files.